Take your Bible and turn to Genesis 40. Genesis 40 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wrought against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and chief of the and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard and to the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And certain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, do thank Thee for Thy mercies and blessings in Christ Jesus and the everlasting love, and we're in all things that we might be content with Thee, O Lord, and of the salvation You give us. And though we have a weary time in the world, O Lord, look at Thee for Thy mercies and comfort. Pray for each one here this evening, that You meet the needs of each one according to Thy goodwill and pleasure, and that we'd be servants of these as we are Thee, as we ought to be. Just thank Thee and praise Thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God does everything according to His schedule, and one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, there in 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. And time is irrelevant to God, is what it means. It has no meaning to God, and He's eternal. We talk about it a lot, but it's hard to comprehend it. Where there's no beginning and no ending, and where we talk about eternity past and eternity future, and that means we just can't comprehend it. We don't know exactly what it is. God deals with us. He knows our weakness. He encourages us in the way, and in the way to strengthen our faith, that it fail not. When Joseph left his home, he was about 17, and now he's in our lesson, he's 30. And so there's been several years from the time that his brother decided to kill him and then decided to sell him, and he ended up in Egypt. Joseph started out as a beloved favorite son of Jacob, a dreamer, hated by his brethren, sold into slavery and become a prisoner, followed by becoming the second in the kingdom of Egypt. And except for the last step that we spoke of there, when, which step would give you the greatest confidence that the dream was coming true? I mean, would it be your brothers trying to kill you and sell you and go to be a slave and then a prisoner? Those things wouldn't boost our confidence in the dreams we had of old. And of course, when God exalted him and by Pharaoh, then it all come true. And so we see in our lesson, we see the beginnings of his exaltation, that is the final steps of him being exalted, and where people would bow before him, give him honor, it's due unto, give him honor unto him and his name. And we think about the promises we have, and seem like they slowly never come. Sometimes we see those in this, like Simon Peter's epistle, where they say, "Well, where is the his coming?" You know, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and we know the rapture's coming at any time, and yet we don't know when that time is, whether it be our lifetime, the next lifetime, or the next second. God just hadn't told us. And again, time means nothing to God. It'd be right on time, right on schedule, according to God's planning. Then, like Joseph's, God's personal promises, it might have seemed as if he took a wrong turn somewhere down the road, because when he seen the glory was going to be his, everybody bowing to him, and his own family bowing to him, and I will imagine sometime, if he's like we was, 17 years old, you think that's next day. That's going to be tomorrow. That's going to be next week or something like that. But things, if you will, turn the wrong way. It might seem that they took a wrong turn, like Paul's many persecutions and Joseph's trials and tribulation. And however, Paul saw the prospering of the Lord's churches, the prospering of his words, and the conversion of sinners and those things. And yet, every time you turn around, he's in prison, being stoned, shipwrecked, or something, and then spends a lot of time there in Rome as a prisoner. And so we think about Joseph's case. It all had have seen as if it all had gone wrong until he got Pharaoh's call. He's out working in a prison. He was a servant there, and even though he's second in command, we notice that for the chief baker and the butler, he served them. Because they was the king's officials, although they was in prison because Pharaoh got mad at them, still yet they had special treatment. They didn't have the freedom like Joseph had, but otherwise they was special treated prisoners of the Pharaoh. We start our lives living in a family or lack thereof, and God to choose for us with or without family members, and God uses for our edification different trials and tribulations, and God saved us by us in Jesus Christ, and have many, many promises. I mean, we just read through the New Testament, you've got all kinds of promises. Then you add on the Old Testament, then we got more promises. It's almost innumerable, all the things that God has promised to bless us with. And yet, as we go through our trials and tribulations, sometimes it's hard to see God's promises that He's given us. But there's some things you're going through. You can't pray your way out of it. You can't fight your way out of it. You're going to go through it. Just like Paul had a thorn in the flesh, he prayed three times. God remove it, and God didn't remove it. And God had it there for a reason, that he not be, if you will, could become high-minded at the revelations that he was going to give him. And so we are the same way. God puts things in our past, and it's good for us. We may not know it's good, and we know all things work together for good to them who are called, those called according to His purpose. And when we think about being called according to His purpose, the purpose that God had for Paul required a thorn in the flesh. And it's likewise with us. There's things in our lives that, whether God reveals them to us or not, I think we'll see that everything was really a blessing, just like God says it was, but everything was for a purpose. We find our faith does not have any crutches for us to lean on outside of the Word of God and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And so we are to trust God in all these things. And sometimes it gets hard when things seem like they're going against you and it seems like everything you do is wrong. And yet God promised to bless us and help us, you know, and we get to think in the wrong direction because we have finite minds and we also are limited in our time. Even though we already have eternal life, we're still limited in our imagination of what is best in eternity, not just here. And so we reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, O ye of little faith, and we see this as of all people to say that was his followers, his 12 apostles, or who would be the 12 apostles, except, 11, and of course Judas was there. But nonetheless, he called them little in faith and sometimes weak in faith, and we are no better than they are. And of course, they were just starting out, and when you first start out, you know, you get high and low and high and low, and as if you're on the mountaintop one day and down the valley the next day. And as we grow in faith and wisdom of God, then we kind of level out. But still yet we have those, if you will, sometimes we just think, well, everything's going great and wonderful. And the next thing we know is, well, why is the Lord letting this happen to me? God bringing about his goodwill and pleasure. First four verses, the chief of the butlers and chief of the bakers were there in the prison where Joseph was, and as I mentioned, he had more freedom than they did, and their offenses are not mentioned. We don't know whether the bakers burnt the toast or the butler spilt the wine. We don't know what the offense was. It just doesn't say. And we have to remember, it didn't have to be a capital offense. I mean, you make Pharaoh mad, you could be dead that next minute or hour or whatever. And so whatever the offense is not mentioned, only that he was dissatisfied with them, upset with them, and put them in the prison. And we notice it says in verse 3, the latter part, where Joseph was bound. And we had mentioned this last time, how they had feathers on, and yet we know he went about doing these tasks, or whether some believe he was set free of those fetters, those chains, and or ropes, depends on what they used, and usually there were brass, not steel. But either way, to be able to do his services, it probably would be easier for him and better for the prison, the overseer of the prison, if he wasn't. But here it does say that he was bound. And Joseph served them, and though in prison, and they had a higher rank and position than he did, and yet he had more freedom than they did. And they were there for a season, and in the scripture, season just don't really mean anything, unless it's tied to something. If it's tied to something, you can say, well, that season's a week, it's a month, it's a year. But a season in the scripture can be any of those days, a few days, months, years, or year, or years, and it's according to the season of the very thing, whatever it is you're looking at. And so they, though privileged, again, they didn't have the freedom of Joseph. The dream of the butler and baker, they're in, we'll read 5 through 8, and it says, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man in his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's king, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray thee. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him. Now, so they had a dream. There's no interpreter there. And they took their dreams more serious than we do today, and they was always looking for somebody, a wise man, a soothsayer, somebody, if they dreamed a dream. And this don't mean the casual dream where you're dreaming about driving a race car or something, or parachuting or whatever it might be. It talks about a dream that seems like it has substance is usually what it's referring to. They were sad in countenance, and Joseph is connected to several dreams in life. The two before he was sold, now yet two more dreams to interpret, and later the two dreams of Pharaoh. Sound like his dream comes in twos. The first two was concerning himself, and the rest of them was concerning someone else. In Numbers 12:6, and he said, hear thou my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. And sometimes some misunderstand what a prophet is in the scriptures. Usually we think about Elijah, Elisha, and people like that. We don't think of Joseph and others. But interpreter of dreams was the category of prophet. And a man that can interpret dreams, that was a prophet of God. He might not have great other prophecies, like we might think of Daniel or someone like that, but nonetheless, he'd be in the category of a prophet. And in Joseph's case, most of the dreams he interpreted were others. Joseph quickly asked a rhetorical question. I'm going to read there in verse 8 up, excuse me. And they said, we have dreamed a dream, there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And so he just saying, I'm not the interpreter. I cannot interpret dreams. I cannot of my own do any of this. He says God is the interpreter of dreams. And we notice with Joseph all the way through, he always gives God the credit. He never does take it upon himself. He doesn't promote himself, as we see on later. He promotes God. And so he then he asks them to tell him the dream. You notice the order of the butler throughout this section. The butler always is mentioned first. He would be the higher rank officer, and we'll look at that just in a little while. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though that budded, and her blossoms set forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I give the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches of 3 days, and yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee into the place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand. Afterward, the former matter, when thou wast his butler. But think on me. Now, we'll look at this just in a minute. Here's the butler, and they're in dire straits about these dreams. He tells him the dream about the the clusters or the branches, and the result of these branches. He took off ripe grapes, and it's the wine cup. And we don't, it, to be the cup, usually that would mean that it was wine, instead of a bowl or something like that, although they could have been just the grapes in there, but the butler usually was the server of the kings, not just Pharaoh, but the kings drink. And they were responsible that he wasn't poisoned and so on and so forth, and they had a closer relationship with whoever they served than like the baker would have. And the results was of these three branches, of course, is the grapes, and the 3 days is he would be lifted up. Butler's head, usually we think of lifted up, and in the head, it used like being hung or something like that. We see in this it doesn't mean that, except, well, of course it does for the baker, but it just means that he raised them back up, took them out of prison, put them in a position of his servants, and so that's what it means, lifted up here. Of course, in the baker's case, it's a little bit different. And 3 days, he lifted up the butler's head and restored him to take him out of prison, restore him to his former position, his chief butler. And the one that gave the king his cup was a very important position in most all the kingdoms. And if you notice, for they usually the king's confidant. And just like Nehemiah was when he served the king there in the book of Nehemiah, and served the king. And usually they told the king the things that was going on. And what was happening in the kingdom and all of that. If you remember Nehemiah, when he heard about the prisoners and what was happening to Jerusalem, he come in before the king in a sad accountant, and it scared him because he had not been before the king in sadness. And then he spoke boldly unto the king, and the cupbearer was one of the few people, or the other counselors could, and with a very few people who could speak like that to a king as Nehemiah did and not lose their head or be in prison. And so the position of the cupbearer was an important position. And as we see on later in the lesson, when Butler remembers his shortcomings, that he's right there with the counselors counseling Pharaoh. There in verses 14 and 15, But think on me when you shall shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me before Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For I indeed was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that I should be, should put me into the dungeon. And so he's pleading with him, and of course he knows this is what's going to happen. Butler's going to be restored to position. He's a confidant of the Pharaoh, and he said, well, when you get up there and you're restored to your position, why, say something to Pharaoh about me that, you know, I mean, I'm doing you a favor. Do me a favor. That is, tell Pharaoh about me. And he said, well, I'm innocent of all charges. I hadn't really done anything. And, of course, we know that he was innocent of everything that he was accused of. And so when the baker seen how well it went for the butler or the cupbearer, he decided to have his dream told also. In verse 16, and the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, and he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat all, shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, and that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up their head, the head of chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. And he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to him. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And, of course, this is often the way it happens. You do a good turn for somebody, and they forget what your name is. And this is what happened to him. He wanted, as we mentioned, he wanted the butler to remember him. And the occasion, of course, was Pharaoh's birthday, and they were put back among the servants. And of course, they hung the baker and restored the butler. And these things, everything's in line for Joseph's dream to be fulfilled. In other words, we can see the steps closer now. Of course, we knew what was going to happen anyway when we started. But the point I'm making is if we was reading this afresh, we would see the dream, and then it seems like it goes out the window. And everything seems to get worse and worse and worse. But now we see a connection getting closer to the Pharaoh. But the butler let Joseph down. And I imagine he was thinking that he'd be restored or released, you know, in a little while. I'm thinking the way Joseph was, actually I put in there begging, I think he was. He was wanting to get out of there, of course, and Joseph may have become discouraged as his days, months, and years passed, which is 2 years that he's in the, and it says 2 full years, not just, you know, in Scripture, a year and a half can be counted as 2 years. When it says 2 full years, it means it's a little over 2 years. And the dream is when he dreamed when he was 17, and now would have seemed even dimmer. After a few months, you start thinking, well, the butler's not going to put a good word for me. And after a year, there you're stuck, you know, in prison. Even though you have a position in prison, it's still prison that he's in. And so the dreams, as I mentioned, just the grow dimmer. He was a human being. He was a saved human being, but he still yet was a human being. He was not a Superman. Only Jesus Christ was truly, completely, and totally faithful and true faith, never wavering one way or the other, but the rest of us sometimes waver a little bit. There in 41, and the first 8 verses, Pharaoh needs an interpreter, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kind, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow, and behold, 7 other kind come up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river, and the ill-favored, lean flesh kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and the kind and the fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. And so we find in this dream, and we know, I think we've all probably read this enough times, we know what happens, but nonetheless, it's speaking of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And so if this dream troubles him, he calls for the magicians, that's the sorcerers, diviners, astrologers. And if we was talking of Joseph of being in this group, he would be in the group of the wise men. And just like Daniel was in the group of the wise men in Babylon. And none of these could interpret the dreams. Now sometimes they would fake it. And they figure out, well, it's got to be this one or the other. But sometimes like this, you couldn't find a logical answer. Like the butler, you could kind of figure out maybe what was happening there. You know, the 3, this, and they blossom, and so on and so forth. And so you kind of could figure that out a little bit. But this one, just didn't make any sense. Cows eating cows, and corn eating corn, and 7 of each, and they were taking them as 2 different revelations, not one, and so they didn't have an interpreter. To give a wrong interpretation could be dangerous, even life-threatening for those wise men. And so they had to be very careful. We remember in the book of Daniel when the wise men there tried to forestall the king, and the king, you know, In that case, the king forgot the dream. He didn't even know what the dream was. And he said to him, you see that the dream's left me, and you're just putting me off, and meaning that the king got tired of asking the questions about this dream, about the statue of the man. And so this was kind of the way they would do when they didn't know. I mean, and they told him, he says, there's nobody in the world, what they're saying, the nations would ask anything like that of a wise man, tell me the dream I forgot. And so they would try to forestall in verses 9, starting with verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of a guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream one night. We dreamed each other, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted unto us, so it was, me he restored and into my office, and him he hanged. And so we see now that the butler's making up for what he should have done at the first, and he gives him two things to Pharaoh. One, that they were in prison and dreamed these dreams. Two, that it turned out exactly like Joseph said it would turn out. There wasn't any ifs, ands, you know, as well to come close to it. No, it happened exactly like Joseph told them, and that it would, if you will, that it would come to pass. And so he tells the Pharaoh about him and the dreams, and there in verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Then they brought him hastily out of the dungeon and shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came into Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh calls for him and Joseph, and I thought, what a heart throbbing experience for Joseph that way. I mean, I figured he's almost lost hope about being exalted. I think through the butler he could see some gleam of hope, and then all of a sudden the word comes, the Pharaoh wants to see you. And the king's commandment was carried out immediately, hastily, with no delay. These dreams were very important to Pharaoh, and they troubled him. And of course, this is God's doing. The only reason it troubled him is because God troubled him with the dreams. And he's seen of that they're being of importance, but he didn't get a clue what it meant. Second, the cleaning is in the response. Shave. This involved more than the face, but also the head. Egyptian were, fastesis, clean and shaving everything as one may. The men made themselves clean. Third, the clothes, changed the raiment. Seeing the king required appropriate attire, if you would show up proper respect for the king. Remember that in the parable that Jesus spoke about the man that was in the wedding feast, and he didn't have any wedding garments on. He had his street clothes on. And in that parable, the king called for him and said, well, what are you doing here? You know, you're not properly dressed. And so even though sometimes we, as mentioned here, we think that maybe Pharaoh's the only one like that, they's all like that. They didn't want some dirty, stinking person coming up before them. I mean, just put it bluntly. And as I had mentioned before, we'll read that other comment. Joseph was hurried because Pharaoh was anxiously waiting for him. Note, and this is copied also, is that Joseph shaved himself. You must remember that the Hebrews were not shaving in that day, but have you noticed that the statues and paintings of Egyptians shows clean-shaven people. Many of the rulers sported a little goatee to add dignity to their position. If they couldn't grow their own, they wore a false one, but generally the Egyptians were without hair on their faces. This is a tremendous message in this, that man is lifted up out of the prison now. He shaves and changes his prison garment, or garb, for proper court clothing. This is the new life that is before him. It is like the resurrection. He is raised up. He is raised up, and now he goes to the Gentiles with a tremendous picture of Christ. This gives to us here, and that's McGee. And so Joseph showed up in proper attire, clean shaven, and probably he had shaved his head also. Depends on the Pharaoh, because you can go in secular history and find coming for the Pharaoh unshaven could be death. But it depends on which Pharaoh it was. Pharaoh tells Joseph his dream there in verses 41. I think we'll just take up there, up here next time. So, anyway, as we look next time, Pharaoh tells the dream to Joseph. Joseph interprets it, and as we know that Joseph becomes exalted or comes second ruler in the kingdom.